Gospel lesson today does come from Luke's Gospel, from that representation and description of the Last Supper. We're reading from Luke chapter 22, verses 14 to 19. Listen for God's word today. When the hour came, Jesus took his place at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. May God bless this reading and the hearing of God's word, that it may sustain us for the journey ahead. Amen. A story. Not too many people ventured up onto Miss Rita's porch. She lived alone in a big house that was set back from the road. She kept mostly to herself and was widely considered to be eccentric, if not even strange. If the weather was mild, though, you'd see her often out on that porch, sitting in a wooden rocking chair, watching the world go by. There were two children who lived a few houses down from Rita, though, who were some of the few persons willing to engage this woman. And in the evening, if they were free and able, they would walk up to her house and make their way onto the porch and join her in the rocking chairs before their mother called them home for supper. The older sister and younger brother combination, they loved what most other people found peculiar, namely that the first words that would come out of Rita's mouth when she met someone would invariably be something unusual, if not unexpected. Rita was never one to put much stock in social niceties, but the children had learned that if you're patient and let her eventually finish her comments, then her opening remarks made a lot of sense. Sadly, most people didn't have patience for this. So one afternoon, the sister and her brother made their way up onto the porch and sat there quietly with Miss Rita for a while, watching as a fairly plump sparrow was taking a bath in the neighbor's bird bath. And then after a moment, Rita said, You know, Russell collected equestrian statues. Kids rule number one with Miss Rita, never comment on the initial phrase. But count until 10 and wait until she followed up to make sense of what she was trying to communicate. So they sat in silence. The sparrow left the bird bath when the neighbor's cat appeared near the base. And then Rita went on. Well, Russell didn't collect statues themselves. He collected photographs and postcards of equestrian statues from around the world. Well, now the boy felt comfortable to break the silence, and he asked her what equestrian meant. And Rita told him that it referred to men on horseback, and that lots of famous generals had been honored in public places with statues showing them in full uniform riding their favorite horses. And supposedly there was a special code associated with this, in that the more legs the horse had off the ground in the statue, the more noble the general's death. If two or three legs were lifted in the air, it meant the general died in battle. If all four hooves were firmly planted in the base, it meant the soldier probably died asleep on his feather bed. But as the story unfolded, Russell was described as Rita's older brother. And as a young boy, he had so loved the picture of Prince Eugen of Vienna that it saved the city from the Turks, that he decided to collect a picture of every horse and rider statue that he could find in the world. And when Russell died some years ago, the family had found 17 scrapbooks dedicated to this hobby of Russell's. And when a picture of an equestrian statue in Venice had coincidentally appeared in that morning's paper, Rita had imagined Russell himself clipping it out and putting it in his collection. Now the young girl spoke up and said, "I remember my grandfather used to collect stamps. And when I was alive, I'd help him sort them out into the various countries there on the kitchen table." And Rita asked, "Do you think of him when you see those pretty stamps on envelopes today?" And the girl said, "No, not really." "Ah, then you're not remembering properly. Why, almost every day I remember Russell, and I remember my parents, I remember Moses, and even Jesus." Now, despite rule number one, that was too much for the kids to let go without commenting. So they said, "Wait a minute, how can you remember Moses and Jesus? They lived a long time before you were born." And Rita said, "I guess I've never explained to you about the two types of remembering." So she fixed her gaze on the little boy and girl and said, "Most people think that remembering is just taking a trip down memory lane, shutting out the world around you to escape to a time long past. Your calendar may say it's 2010, but people will tell you stories about the good old days, and you'll relive past glories and dimly remembered adventures, riding on charter buses of the memory. And what happens is you travel from the living present back to a dead past. But there's another way to remember, and that's to summon the dead past into the living present. When I saw the picture in the paper this morning, I imagined Russell right there cutting it out and bringing the appropriate album to the table and pasting it in right before my eyes. I remembered him, and then he was with me in the now of the morning. Do you see the difference?" The children looked a bit perplexed, so Rita tried a different approach. To remember is to recollect things, to gather them up close at hand. Now, some folks gather up their memories like piles of autumn leaves, but then they burrow down deep into the pile. They hide in that pile from the here and now, hiding from the present moment as they think back to earlier times. Maybe when they were younger and healthier, when friends they loved were still with them. But sometimes you can actually take the people and the events from the past and carry them around with you, like they were there in your pocket, so that those memories become part of how you experience things today. When I saw that photo of the equestrian statue, it made me think of Russell, and remembering him was like having him back here in the house with me again. Right here on the porch in the rocking chairs. And in a very real way, then, Russell and I were here enjoying this day together when you joined us here on the porch. And suddenly that old house didn't seem quite as empty as they imagined the many people that would be there along with Miss Rita moving through the rooms. And Rita went on. Remembering is a special gift of God. It's been an important part of our faith lives since Noah looked at every rainbow in the sky and remembered God's promises to provide for us and to let the seasons unfold from that day forth. It's been there from the time of Abraham, who remembered God's promises every time he pondered a sky full of stars. It was there from the time of Moses. When Moses was sent by God back into Egypt, the land from which he had fled long before, in order that God's people would be released from slavery and taken to the promised land. Moses told Pharaoh, "Let God's people go." And when Pharaoh finally relented, the Hebrew people didn't have much time to pack. There wasn't time for anything as simple as letting the yeast rise in their bread. So they ate unleavened bread, and they remembered that story from thenceforth. And whenever they sat at table at the Passover meal and they shared the bread once more, Moses was right with them once again. And when I remember that story, I picture Moses leading that great people through the waters into the promised land. And I picture my own life and whatever troubles I'm facing. And in that moment, I can picture Moses beside me as well, leading me to God's promised land even today. Now at that, the children started giggling, imagining Miss Rita and Moses on the porch. And she recognized that maybe it was a strange image. But she said, yeah, maybe it's hard to imagine Moses right here, but actually it's a lot easier to imagine it with Jesus. Mostly because we were told to do just that. The children were again a bit puzzled. And Rita said, Jesus and his friends were gathered one day around a table in Jerusalem. And they were talking about Moses and Pharaoh. And they were sharing the unleavened bread and how God had led them to freedom. But at that table, then Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he said to them, remember me when you eat this bread. And at the time, they were confused by the change in the words. But after they witnessed that painfully horrible sight of Jesus dying as a lonely, broken man on the cross, they remember that he'd compared himself to that torn and broken bread. A bread that nonetheless had fed them and still sustained them as they walked on their own journey to the promised land. And so from thenceforth, whenever the disciples gathered in their rooms, they would pull out the bread and they would break it and they would share the story again and they would be fed, remembering Jesus' sacrifice, Jesus' resurrection, his promise to be with them to the end of the age. And in a real way, every piece of bread that we eat reminds us of Christ. And remembering him brings him back beside us. And we act differently. We are different because of that. And Rita's voice got a bit softer. She said, I think of you kids every day, which means I'm carrying a bit of you around with me wherever I go, so that wherever I am, you are with me when I remember you. And I hope there's a bit of me with you as well, wherever you are. And maybe because of today's chat, you also have Russell with you, and Moses with you, and that unleavened bread, and then that table where Jesus is there smiling back at you. And the evening was starting to fall because the shadows made their presence felt against the darkening trees. And Rita looked at the horizon and then offered the children one last image. She said, you know, when Jesus was crucified, there were two men with him. And the Bible tells us a bit about them. One criminal recognized that Jesus was dying on the cross, though innocent. And when the other criminal began to make fun of him, the first one dared to break that silence around those crosses. And offering a few words, he said to Jesus, remember me. Recollect me. When you come into your kingdom, gather me into your heart and mind so that where you will be, I may be too. And in answer to that prayer, Jesus gave him a promise. Today, you will be with me in paradise. I will remember you. And that made all the difference in the world. The sound of a metal pan being rung with a wooden spoon could be heard from coming down the street. It was the archaic yet effective way the children's mother used to call them home for supper. And so as the kids got up, Rita said, it was nice to tell you about Russell and Moses and Jesus. God remembers us and wants us to return the favor. And the kids wave goodbye and bounce down the steps, leaving with more than they had brought with them, and knowing that in a real way, there would be extra people around the dinner table that evening. Amen. Friends, as part of our remembering, we offer up words that have been spoken before to acknowledge to the world what we profess. I invite you this time to stand and to share in the affirmation of faith as printed in the bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.